All right, in the scriptures, Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 and 28 from the New King James Version of the Bible, it says, and whoever, somebody say whoever, whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Well, this is going to be our second sermon in this series that we have entitled Intentional Service. Serve God with intentionality. And you know, last week I asked a question, and it's just a simple question. You know, if I were to ask you, how do you serve the Lord? What would be your response? If you were asked how you serve the Lord, what would be your response? Now, I want you to just think about that. If you thought about it last week, I hope that thought and the answer caused you to take some action based upon how you believe God has called you to serve him. Amen? You know, I was looking at the BX. I was getting some gas. And they had on the gas machine there, the pump, you know, family serving families. I saw that little slogan there, and I'm saying, well, what that mean? Then I read up on it, you know, and it let us know that 85% of the people that work for AFES, or the gas station, or that organization, 85% of the people that work for them are family members of service members. And so that's why they say family serving family. And that made me think, what would it be like if 85% of the people in Striving were serving each other? Now, I hope y'all in that 85%. I ain't trying to talk to the 15%. But I hope I got the 85% that see yourselves as part of a family and you're here to serve family members. Amen. Amen. You know, and so in the Bible, the word serve or service encompasses an act of worship, obedience, and humility to God. Serving God includes following his commands, offering praise to him, living a life that reflects his teachings. It also encompasses serving others. In other words, it means helping, supporting, and loving others by showing kindness, compassion, and generosity. Service in the church is related, and I told you last week, is related to two words, worship and work. Amen? We come into this place to worship him, but within the confines of the church, we should all be working. Let me make it milder. Maybe work is too strong of a word. We should all be serving. Amen. Ultimately, biblical service is about putting God and others before yourself with a heart that seeks to glorify God in all things. I said my objective in this lesson is to encourage and exhort you to intentionally serve God and others on purpose, meaning that it's not accidental, for a purpose, meaning you got a goal or aim that you're trying to accomplish, and with purpose, meaning I want your attitude to be right. Because how you serve God does matter. Amen. Because you got to serve him with your whole being. But man, what you bring to the table does matter. And we should bring an attitude of humility and obedience as we serve the Lord so that others will want to serve alongside us. Now, in Romans, my first turn, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and I want both turns of dealing with Romans today before we move on. It makes it clear that God expects us to serve him with our whole body. See, Paul lets us know that it's our reasonable act of service or worship to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. In Romans 6:13, he told them this, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil or to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves, somebody say completely, give yourselves completely to God For you were dead, but now you have new life. So look what he tells them. So use your whole body, something like your whole body. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. See, the body represents the total person. It is the instrument by which we all serve God. This body, our eyes, our ears, the hands, our feet, the whole being, the whole body. That's what he wants us to offer up as a living sacrifice. Symbolizing, you know, in the Old Testament, the sacrifice was dead. But today, God wanna, he don't want you laid on the altar and doing nothing. He wants you to be serving him with life. As long as he give you strength and as long as he give you health, you ought to be looking for a way that you can serve him. Not just in the church, but I'm talking about in your everyday life. And we need to do that with our whole body. And we can only do that if we see ourselves as presenting ourselves to him as a living. In other words, we go and lay ourselves on the altar like a lamb and say, God, here we are to sacrifice ourselves to you to be a part of your service. Whatever you command us to do, that's what we want to do. We're not the lamb that's up here to argue with you, to fuss with you, and fight with you, God. We're here as a living sacrifice to freely offer ourselves to you because we understand this is our reasonable service. You're not asking too much when you ask us to serve. Let me read this for y'all in Rome. He says, I beseech you. See, it's tough when the man got say, I got to beseech you. That means the preacher begging.
That's right.
You know, I beg, I beseech you. Some of y'all sitting out there can sing, and I say, I be. Your voice ain't just for cooking grits in the morning or singing to yourself in the shower. I beseech you. If you can sing in your car to whatever you sing to, I be. If you got feet that can still dance, I be present them as a living. If you can put your boots on the ground everywhere else, sanctify them boots and dance for them. I beseech you. I mean, Paul was begging. He was pleading with the people in the Roman church. He said, look, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, not just anyway, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable. God is not asking too much from you. Whatever you got, he gave it to you. And he gave it to you to be used to his glory. And the way we have to get to that point, we got to stop conforming to the world. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Man, when we come and present ourselves as living sacrifice of God for him to use us as he see fit, then guess what? We are doing what is acceptable to him. That's honorable when we present ourselves to him so that we can be used in his service. Now, you know, as we get older, we can't do as much as you used to do. But some of y'all, you know, under 60, under 50, under, you know, y'all in your 40s. I mean, if you're in your 40s and ain't doing nothing, you being unreasonable to God. Amen. I know. I ain't talking to the people online today. I'm talking to the folk that member the striving. So if you have guests here, you can just kind of listen to me and say, okay, I see where you're coming from. But I'm talking to the membership. All right. You should be in striving sitting and soaking and souring. Like the old folks say, sit in the church every Sunday, soak up the word, and then let it sour. I didn't make that up. I heard old folks used to say that. So I heard that a long time ago. It just came back to me because it wasn't in my notes. But don't be offended by that, because if you ain't souring, you're all right. That word was designed to get some of y'all out of that lemon juice and get you to serving. In verses 3 to 8 of that same chapter of the book of Romans, Paul exhorts them to humbly serve God with the gifts that he had blessed them with. He compared the church to the human body, which has many members or parts, but they don't all do the same function. So he exhorts them to intentionally serve the God by using the gifts and the talents that he had that God had blessed them with. This list is not all inclusive, because the word ministry in here can be used to describe a number of ways that we can serve the Lord. For example, the word usher, greeter, praise team, dance ministry is not listed in this passage at all. But all of those are things that we can do if God has gifted us in those areas to serve him. And if he's gifted us in those areas to serve him, that means we should be serving in the body of Christ to make the body better, to make the body stronger. And so whenever you see this word, and I'm going to read it again in Peter, ministry look bigger than just standing up here preaching on Sunday. Amen. The word ministry in the Bible serves, same word as diaconus that I mentioned last week. So it means a variety of things. Whatever gifts and talents God has blessed you with, you can allow the Spirit of God to help you to use those gifts in the church, in the body. Some of y'all got the gift, y'all just like talking. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. But you ought to be using it to talk to God's folk. I mean, we got a need in the church for folks just to call other folk and just talk, and how are you doing? Because some of y'all say, that, I ain't got that in my gift. Wait, some of y'all got that gift. Amen. Some of y'all got the gift, y'all like smiling. You know, you can't stop smiling. You need to be at the front door. Because everybody want to walk into the church and see us. We don't need the lemon at the door of the church. We need somebody that want us. Let me read this, because I'm getting in trouble. I see that right now. Look, he says in verse 3 of this same chapter, he says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, you ain't all that. Don't get high-minded because you got a good job and you know you can do this and you can do that. Don't get too high-minded in the church. But he said to think soberly. You know, take time and use sound judgment and think and look at yourself and see yourself as God sees you. But think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of, God has given all of us a measure of faith. And we have the faith to be able to serve him. The Bible says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he would be an unjust God if he didn't give you something that would be required to please him. So I don't care what nobody tells you. You got a measure of faith. You've been believing certain things by faith before you even knew it was connected to the church. Amen. Amen. When I ask all of y'all, what day were you born on? Most of y'all are going to give me whatever's on your birth certificate or what Big Mama told you. You don't even remember nothing about that day. But by faith, I say November the 7th, 1953. Now, it could have been A. Because back then, midwives were making mistakes. They just put stuff down. Could have been A. I could have been born on A. Because, you know, back when I was born, you wasn't going to no ER and all that stuff. You're going to be at home. Yeah. Amen. And so the midwife coming in, you know, in the middle of the night, she got her dates mixed up. But that's what's on my certificate. And so by faith, Every time someone asks me that, I say it. And if someone would tell me different now, I will argue them all the way back down to that midwife or whoever signed that document. So my point is, you all have a measure. You got all have a measure of faith. And look what he says in verse 4. He says, For as we have many members, somebody say many members. Many members in one body, but not all the members do have the same function. In other words, when you think about our bodies, hands don't do what arms do and legs do, feet do. Every part got a function. And so therefore, when we understand our function, our role in the church, we won't be hands trying to be heads. Amen. We won't be feet trying to be eyes. But we won't be feet sitting on the sideline, thinking that the body can get certain things done without feet.
That's right.
Y'all ain't getting this. I see that right now. Y'all right. So you're going to figure out where you fit in it. The Holy Spirit going to let you know where you fit in the body. God know what gift he gave you. And he's expecting you to use what he gave you. He don't want you to create nothing. He already gave it to you. All you got to do is step out and use it, because he gave you the faith to be able to do whatever he gifted you. So we don't all have the same function. So look, he said in verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So our human body is one complete body. So therefore the church is one complete body. Even though we got many members, many parts, we don't all do the same thing. There are some people that's more important to this ministry that you never see. It's either to see myself or others stand up here on Sunday, people to open up and pray. But man, that ain't all it takes to make this ministry what it is. So therefore, there are people that you never see standing up here in front, but they just as important as I am.
Yeah.
Because the body don't function well without them. And so my job now is to applaud those folk, but to incite the one who sitting down and ain't doing nothing. I don't know who you are. I ain't calling your name, but the Holy Spirit already knows. So you're here today because you need to hear this. If God has gifted you and you still got life and breath in you, you're going to get to a point in time in your life where you're not going to be able to do all the things you used to. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members to one another. Now look at this. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given us. Each one of us have grace, and whatever gift we got, God give us the grace to be able to carry that task out. He says, let us, somebody say, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In other words, if you can speak words of encouragement, exhortment, and comfort to people, as well as if God has blessed you to be able to foretell or see things that's coming, then preach messages that give life to people based upon what God is showing you in the future. So that they can be warned of what's coming. So he said, if you got that gift, use it. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. On ministry, that word ministry is that broad term because it covers a lot of things. Let us use our ministry, dance, sing, choir, whatever, bake cookies, whatever, take care of the kids, whatever ministry God has blessed you with, you're supposed to be using it to minister to others. He who teach. Amen. Some of y'all got the gift to teach. You're learning a lot. You know a lot about God's word. So guess what? You're supposed to be teaching other folk. And if you're scared of adults, we got some children. Because I know that. You know, I just don't feel comfortable talking to grown folk. Okay, we got some children. We can let you teach at any level you want to teach at. If that's your gift, you ought to be teaching someone. He who exhorts. You know, if you're an encourager. You know, if you're an exhorter, part of that, Adrian, if you know, if you like to talk, there's a good possibility you're a good exhorter. If y'all texting folks all day, I hope y'all ain't just texting bad news. I hope you texting some people some good news. So that means a possibility you can encourage and exhort others. He who gives with liberty. Now, this ain't talking about tithing and offering, this giving. This is talking about your ability to share and be generous with whatever God has blessed you with. Giving is a gift. Everybody don't have this ability to give at this level. Amen, because some of y'all stingy. That's your gift. You just stingy right there. I mean, you'd give your tithe, but you ain't going to get nothing else. Everything else going to you. Okay, I got that. That ain't your gift. So Pastor Bowen ain't trying to get you to do something God didn't bless you to do. Because then you're going to be out of your place, and you're going to be frustrated and angry while you. Because he wants you to do it cheerfully. Amen. It ain't offering time, so don't y'all give me a quiet right here. But I'm just talking about, that's a gift. And some of y'all have that gift, man. You're generous. You got a generous heart. You don't mind helping people. Just like now, the time we're living in. Some of y'all have been dropping off stuff, buying stuff, and trying to help people that you work with. Man, that's a that's a gift. He who leads, lead with diligence. In other words, if you're going to lead people, put some effort into it. Put some energy into it. And he who shows mercy or have compassion, do so with cheerfulness. Man, show compassion to people with a cheerful and joyful heart, because that is a gift that God has given you, and he expects you to use the talents and the gifts that he's blessed you with. Now, over in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, the Apostle Peter also reveals to us that God has given each one of us a gift, and we should use our gift to minister or to serve one another as God, as good stewards of the grace of God, of the grace that God has given us. In other words, you have a talent or an ability empowered by the Holy Spirit, and it should be used to serve others in the body of Christ. Your gift is not just for you to be used on yourself, but your gift is designed to be used to serve others. Now, after the service today, like last week, man, it's the Lord speaking to your heart, and you know you got gifts and talents that need to be used and can be used, then look, get with Sister Adrian or myself. Amen. I don't want you to leave here, though. You know, preach that message, you know, and I'm really burning. I want to do something. But see, I know the burn will be gone by Wednesday. It's just a burn that's right now, you know, it'll be gone by Wednesday. So I need for you to, while the burn is burning hot, come see me. Come see Adrian. So that we can point you in the right direction, so you can't leave here saying, well, I ain't know what they wanted me to do. I was on fire for the Lord. But no. I'm going to take time, and Adrian's going to take time after service if you come to us and tell us that, hey, this is what I believe God is calling me to do. Because that's your gift, and God gave it to you so that you can use it to serve others. He says here in verse 10, he says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So that's, God got more than one gift, and we don't all have the same gift, and some have more than one. So he says now, but the thing is, the truth that we have to hold on to is that the gift comes from God. If you know your gift comes from God, then look what he says, use them well to serve one another. Don't just have the gift and let it lie dormant. If God has given you a gift, he expects you to use your gift well. On funeral day, we all want to hear, well, don't make the preacher have to lie. serve well. That's all we want to hear. Well done, that good and faithful. You've been faithful over a few things. Coming up a little higher and I will make you rule over. But it starts with you using whatever gifts he's given you right now. He says, use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? That could be talking about teaching as well as ministry, standing up in a pulpit manner. Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. In other words, diligently study God's word, and so that when you stand up to represent him, you can speak with power and authority. If God has given you that gift, use it. Then, do you have the gift of helping others? Now, that is wide right there, wide open. Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. In other words, if God has given you the gift to do something, he is also going to give you the strength and energy that you need to be able to carry it out. It's in you. You just got to trust him and get to and step out in faith and do what he's calling you to do. Because it's him who supply you with what you need. A lot of times we don't do things because we're relying on our own strength, our own abilities, when we got to say, God, you gave this to me, so therefore when I step out in faith, I'm believing you're going to empower me to do what you called me to do. He says this as he closed out. He says, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. When we serve God in his strength and we do things to help others, people will see that and then they will give glory to God because of the way we serve. You know, yesterday, man, was a beautiful day, and it was, boy, I wish you guys could have been out here to see our little food pantry at work yesterday. Man, I tell you what, it was a lot of young people, elderly people, everybody that's serving, you know, many sitting in here today. But boy, when you see that you can serve 400 and some families. You know, normally in the old days, you know, even up until recently, you know, we'd be through in about an hour. But man, they were still out there passing out stuff at 11 o'clock because the need was great. But it was so good to see so many people out there putting their hand to that plow, just serving. Just something as simple as lifting a bag up and taking it over and putting it in the trunk of a car. And so what I'm trying to tell you, there are a lot of things that we do for God that don't get done or you don't see on Sunday morning. But God sees all those things. And he's going to reward everything that we do when we do it with the right heart, because we're going to do it in a way that's going to bring glory and honor to him. When our light shine in darkness, we glorify him. When we help others, we are glorifying him. He says, then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Well, let me close by going back and adding some context to our text scripture. If y'all would, go back to Matthew chapter 20. In this passage, we see Jesus giving this powerful teaching about serving others. He had just predicted, again for the third or fourth time, his death and his resurrection to his disciples. Plus, he had been talking to them about his kingdom. So it appears that this discussion about serving others rose out of a mother asking for a favor. In other words, she asked for a favor that her sons could sit on Jesus' right hand or left hand in his kingdom. You know, she wanted their greatness to be on display. You know, why not? Any mom probably want that. After all, they were considered part of Jesus' inner circle. You know, these weren't just two boys that she was talking about. They're, you know, James and John, who along with Peter went up on the mountain and saw Jesus transfigured. So this was the inner circle. So their mom figured, I'll just ask a favor, because this is the same mom who's going to be at the cross with Jesus later. So she probably had a relationship with him. So I ain't on wrong with go get my boys to the head table. Any parent would want to do that. You know, some of y'all want y'all children at the head. Come on, ain't nothing wrong with that. So don't look bad at the mom. But she just had a misunderstanding of what it takes to get to the head of the table. And so what Jesus is going to reveal to us is that being on display is not about who you know or how much connection you got with pastor or anybody else. Your being on display in God's eye is based upon how you serve. So look at this. In verse 20, it says, then the mother of Zebedee's son came to him with her son, kneeling down, in other words, showing reverence and respect to Jesus, and asking something from him. Listen to what she said. And he said to her, what do you wish? You know, that's the wrong thing to ask some folk. Because some folks ain't modest. y'all make a wish. Yeah, y'all got some big wishes. Y'all got some big, yeah. You know, most of the time when someone tells you to make a wish, you ain't thinking with no spirit of humility. You have to kind of slap yourself, say, wait a minute now. What do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. In other words, I want them to be seated in the place of honor. In that time in kingdoms, when the king sat on the throne, anybody who was on his right hand or his left hand, that kind of lets you know who had the power, who had the juice in the group. Right. You know, anytime you look at the situation room and the president sitting there looking all bold and bodacious and braggadocious and all that, talking bold and big, just look and see who's on his right hand, who's on the left hand. That lets you know who the top dogs are around there. Everybody sit around the table. But everybody sit around the table ain't equal. In authority and responsibility in what they, not just any president. Any president. So this kingdom, they thinking this Jesus finna set up his kingdom. And man, when he set up the royal table, we want to be on his right hand. Mom would be so happy. Look at my boys. Look at my boys. Y'all like that now when your little boy get a touch. That's my boy right there. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But our motives got to be right when we come to God with requests like that. And so because of that, Jesus, you know, he didn't shoot her down off the bat, but he did in a nice way let her know that what she asked, it was not his to give. He didn't say they couldn't serve. He just say where they end up seated in the final analysis belongs to the Father. All our job is to do is to, don't worry about where you're going to sit in the kingdom when you get to heaven. You just serve here on earth. Let God put you in the seat that he wants you in. And if you serve so well and you end up at the head table, praise God. But man, if you get in the kingdom, if you're at the last table, you ought to praise. Hey, praise God. I mean, I'm here. We ain't nothing else to do up here but celebrating the worship and the praise. So look, I'm here now. I mean, I done made it to the Super Bowl. I don't care if I'm sitting up in the rafters. So look at this. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? In other words, he's saying, are your boys going to be able to go through the suffering that I'm going to go through? Are they going to be able to understand and accept this weight of affliction? Because baptism, the symbolism here, is being put under something. So Jesus letting them know that, hey, what you're asking for, it's got a price to it. If you want to reign with me, you're going to have to suffer with me. You just can't sit at the head table without doing some suffering. Therefore, you're going to go through some things for my sake, all because you belong to me. And a lot of people want to be in his kingdom, but we don't want to suffer. Suffering messages are not preached that often in the church, so therefore people get saved and have this disillusion that everything's going to be all right from that point on. It don't work that way. When you make up in your mind that you're going to live for the Lord and serve the Lord, then look here, with that comes some suffering. With that comes some affliction. So he asked the question, can they handle that? Then they said to him, we are able. You know, what else you going to say, man? You want to see the seed. Ain't nobody going to get this, man, I can't do that. No, we able. We're able. Well, then right there, they weren't able. Because these same dudes going to get scared when Jesus get on the cross. They're going to abandon him. But later on, after they get filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, James was the first martyr. So he got martyred. Then John ended up, you know, in the Isle of Patmos because of persecution. So he wrote the Revelation while he was sitting out there isolated all because of Jesus. So they did eventually suffer. Like they said they was able to do. So look at this. He says, so he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give. But it is for those for whom it is prepared by the Father. That let me know that all of us who serve God, he already got a place prepared for you. Amen. He already got a place prepared for you. And if whatever that place is, it's just for you. You don't have to be jealous of nobody else's seat. You don't have to be jealous of nobody else's gifts or talent. You just use the gift and talent that God has blessed you with. He already got a place prepared for you based upon how you serve him. And that's his call. Our job is to just serve. It's not to weigh ourselves one against another to try to figure out who's out serving who. Do your part. Do what God called you to do and let God put you in the seat that he wants you in when that time comes. Your job now, just serve. Now look at this. After he told them that was what the Father's job was, you know, Adrian, you would think that 12 guys that was running with Jesus and listened to all his teaching wouldn't get upset. But you know, sometimes jealousy and envy can get amongst folk. Yeah. Especially when these guys look like they're trying to, can I just analyze how that would work out in the hood? You know, you running with 12 guys and you know y'all got the daddy rabbit of the hood, you know, and everybody look up to him, you know, and all the little boys go look up to him. And then, you know, your mama take you over there to the daddy rabbit, to these my two boys. I want you to treat them right in the hood and just let them do everything they want to do. And you would think the other guys ought to be happy. But when you get back to them other guys who mama didn't take them over there, they ain't going to just welcome you back.
Right.
Come on back. No, man, what you trying to do? You trying to cut the line? You take your mama over there, talking for you, instead of them saying, man, we just glad your mama got a chance to get an audience with the big dog. Look here, we've been attacked.
That's right. That's not a word, Bob.
And see, what we got to see here, God don't want us to turn on one another based upon how we serve.
Yeah.
Whatever you do is good for us. The dancers is not better than the choir. The person in the kitchen is no better than the child person to keep the children. So we can't get into a place where we get like this, these disciples, because it looked like they were all thinking about greatness. But because two of them got ahead in the line, the other 10, instead of saying, "We understand," deep boy got mad.
Right.
Well, look at this. The Bible says, "And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers." I can see them going back in the hood now, man. Look at y'all, sorry. Y'all had y'all mama to go over there and talk for y'all. You know what? Y'all ain't no better than we are. I was right there. I did that too. I've been in the game just as long as you've been in. I've been saved just as long as you've been saved.
Uh-huh.
I've been a member of Striving ever since they was on Pella. I was there when they was hauling stuff up to the upper room. And all of a sudden now, somebody gonna come and get you favor and you over this? How you get to?
Go ahead, Bob.
Who talked up for you?
That's right.
We on the same team. And we win as a team. We serve as a team. We're not competing against one another. We're supposed to be cooperating with one another to make the body better. But they got upset because of the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise great authority." In other words, he's telling them that you know how the Romans do things, and those Gentile nations do things. When they get some power, they lord it over. And it looked like you guys jockeying for that same thing. Y'all want to be on my right hand and my left hand because y'all want to lord over. You want to be larger than charge. You want to lord over some people instead of serve some people. It's easy to get a title and lord it over somebody, but can you take that title and serve? God. He says, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant." In other words, serve your way to greatness. Then in our text, "And whoever desires to be first, let him be your slave." Just a play on words, because when you look them up, they mean basically the same thing. Be your slave. "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." In other words, Jesus saying, look, service involves sacrifice. When you serve others the way that I serve you, you must be willing to make sacrifices. I gave myself as a ransom, as a payment to buy back your sins. I gave myself as a ransom so that you can be set free from the bondage of sin. That was the ultimate act of service. Me dying on the cross so that you can be set free. So therefore, if you want to follow my example, then be willing to make sacrifices to serve others. If God, and I'm done, if God has given you the strength, man, you know, we talk about the activity of our limbs and, you know, our sight and our vision and all those things. We pray for good health. Man, if God is blessing you with good health, don't waste it doing nothing. There's some people who are much older and don't have all their beings, their strength like they used to. But, man, as long as they got breath, they're still trying to. And so I exhort you today, and I encourage you today, ask God to show you your gift. And once he show it to you, realize it's not just for you. You are in his kingdom to serve. And when we don't serve one another, then it can also display our lack of love for one another. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If you're already serving, ask God to continue to give you the strength to continue to serve him even at a higher level. If you're not, then ask him to show you what it is that you can be doing so that you can be great in his kingdom. Martin Luther King, this is one of his favorite passages of scripture, because he used to always say that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.